بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I will be speaking inshallah in this lecture about, or in this short talk about repentance. But when I was preparing to talk about this topic, I found that this topic is quite big topic. And there are many or various issues need to be covered in this topic. So I decided to select some issues that are not covered properly, or that have not been discussed properly in most of the times. And I'll be speaking about some misconceptions regarding the tawbah, regarding repentance. Because these misconceptions, I feel that we need to understand these misconceptions and how to deal with these misconceptions. It is of a great importance for us to be able to deal with these misconceptions. First of all, the first point, just as an introduction to this important topic, what is tawbah? Many of us do not know the reality of tawbah and how can we perform tawbah. To confess by your heart that you regret what you have done and that you have a commitment not to do it again. So you regret what happened and to have a commitment not to do it again. And if you are doing it, to stop it. This is the brief meaning of tawbah. Now, many people say, do I have to make tawbah by tongue? For example, to say that, oh Allah, I am repenting to you now. Or just by regretting, I will be making tawbah. This is a discussion between the scholars. We don't want to get into that. But it is good that you stop yourself, okay, throughout your day and to say to yourself, talking to Allah Jalla wa Ala, oh Allah, I repent to you now. Repent from the ma'asi, the sins that I have committed previously, and I am declaring a commitment now not to do this ma'asi, and I'll try to stop any ma'asi that I have been involved in. It is good to have that. It is good to have that declaration throughout your day. Now, sometimes we cannot declare that by our tongues. We can declare it by our hearts throughout the day. For example, if you drive a car, and while you are driving, just all of a sudden stop, okay? Stop thinking and say to yourself, let me make tawbah. How do I make tawbah while I'm driving? By your heart, okay, regret all the ma'asi that you have done or some of the ma'asi that you have committed previously. Not necessarily all of them, but even some of them. And decide not to do this ma'asi again. And ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to give you the ability not to perform or make these ma'asi again. And if you are involved in a ma'asiya now, stop it. So that is a tawbah. That is a tawbah. If you are driving, for example, and maybe you saw a picture, okay, of maybe inappropriate picture, ladies or whatever, okay, and you drove, you continue. Then you need to tell yourself, let me make tawbah from that particular ma'asiyah and all similar ma'asi. So make that as a tawbah. If you had a bad intention towards a brother, or you said something bad about him, it is very important for you to stop at a certain point and to say to yourself, I will never do that again, I will stop it, and I regret that I have done that. And I will try my best to ask this brother forgiveness. That is another type of tawbah. So in brief, this is tawbah. In brief, this is tawbah. One of the biggest problems, one of our biggest problems is that if you check your day or your days, you will say that, you will see that there are many days where you do not do tawbah at all. We do not do tawbah at all. And this is a big mistake. Yes, it is true that after salah, maybe we say astaghfirullah, 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 but we don't do tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya ayyuhan nas tubu ila Allahi wastaghfiru, repent to Allah jalla wa ala and seek his forgiveness, for I do repent 70 times every day. 70 times every day. And this is something that we need to find a solution for it. In conclusion, the best solution for that is to make a commitment that you repent number of times every day. So when you go to bed, just ask yourself, how many times did I do repentance today? And in many times, we discover that we haven't done enough of repentance. So just before go to sleep, say, Oh Allah, I repent to you from whatever I have done today. And try to remember some of the ma'asi, some of the mistakes or sins that you have committed. And just before go to bed, just make sure that you repent from all of them or each one, okay, individually. Both are considered to be tawbah. But of course, when you repent from each one, that is much better. So this is tawbah. Now, some of the misconceptions. First of all, Allah Jalla wa Ala asked all believers to repent to Him. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Come back to Allah. Repent to Allah, all believers, so you may be successful. In this ayah, Allah Jalla wa Ala is giving us a command. And this is the first point. Tawbah is wajib. Tawbah is not something recommended only, but it is an obligation. Watubu, you have to do it. This is one of the misconceptions. Many of us think that tawbah is not really something obligatory to be done. Yes, it is obligatory to pray 5 times. It is obligatory not to say bad words. But many of us don't think that it is obligatory to make tawbah. No, it is obligatory to make tawbah. Because all of us make mistakes. All of us make sins. And therefore, all of us have to make tawbah from these sins. This is one thing. In this ayah, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهُ O people, He did not say, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ He said, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ All of you believers have to repent to Allah Jalla wa Ala. There is this qa'ida, this rule is applied to all of you, no exception. جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ And the result is you may gain success. Gain success in this dunya and in the hereafter, and the benefits of and the fruits of tawbah can be gained in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Many of us think that the benefits of the tawbah can be gained in the hereafter only, but actually the benefits of the tawbah can be gained or will be gained at this life before the hereafter. Some other misconceptions, main misconceptions. Many people, especially Shabab, they know that they are going to do some ma'asi. In particular, certain ma'asi. Yani, let us speak frankly here, okay, with openness. The biggest ma'asi that the Shabab are facing is what? The ma'asi related to the opposite gender, as they say. To yani the brothers, they are facing the ma'asi, the sins related to yani the opposite sex or sisters. Similarly, women are facing ma'asi related to the relationship with men. And the problem with those ma'asi, that they are continuous ma'asi. So, for example, if a brother has a relationship, illegal relationship or haram relationship with a sister, it is very difficult for both of them to stop that ma'asiyah. And all of us know this. Now, here the shaitan comes and starts to deceive both of them, both the brother and sister. For example, both of them, they communicate with each other and maybe they exchange some text messages or they meet even, or maybe they do something more than that. And they know that if they repent, they will do it again. So the shaitan comes and will tell the brother or the sister, listen, but if you repent now, you know that you will do it again. And this is hypocrisy. So the best thing is not to do it, is not to repent, because you know for sure that you will do it again. And one of the main conditions for tawbah, as we said, is to regret, to stop, and to what? To have a commitment not to repeat it again. So that shart, that condition is invalid, therefore your tawbah is invalid. And therefore you don't need to do it. This is a big problem. And this is a deception by the shaitan. To what? To take people away from the right path, and moreover, to what? To mislead them more and more, until they reach to a point that they cannot go back to Allah Jalla wa'ala. So we have to be careful of this. But what is the solution of this big problem? No. Even you know that you don't have enough strength to stop the ma'asiyah, you have to repent. And there is a difference between knowing that you are a weak person and you might fall into this ma'asiyah again, and having a wish not to do it. Is the difference clear? You don't like to do the ma'asiyah again. Okay? You don't like to do the ma'asiyah again, but you know that you are weak and you will do it. So, just by, okay, hating the ma'asiyah and the fact that you don't like to do it again, this is a very good sign. And it might be accepted as a condition for tawbah. So you regret that you are doing it, you are trying to stop it, you are trying to stop it, you are putting an effort to stop it, and you wish not to do it again. That may constitute a tawbah, even if you know that you are weak and you will fall into the ma'asiyah again. Even if you knew, if you know that you have repented before and you have made the mistake again. And in the hadith of al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Allah jalla wa'ala says, "Inna abdan asaba dhanban," that a slave, okay, committed a ma'asiyah. And then he said to Allah Jalla wa'ala, "Oh Allah, I made a mistake, or I made a ma'asiyah, I committed a sin. Oh Allah, forgive me." Allah Jalla wa'ala would say, "Alima abdi anna lahu rabban yaghfir, ghafartu lahu." My slave knew that he has a Lord who forgives the ma'asi. So I forgive his ma'asiyah. Then my slave repeated that ma'asiyah again. And then he said, "Oh Allah, I made a ma'asiyah, forgive me." Allah Jalla wa'ala will say that again, that my slave knew that he has a Lord and his Lord forgives the ma'asi, so I forgive his ma'asiyah. The third time that slave committed the same ma'asiyah. So Allah Jalla wa'ala, and then he asked Allah Jalla wa'ala forgiveness, Allah Jalla wa'ala would say the same thing. The fourth time, that person committed the ma'asiyah again, committed the sin again. So he said to Allah Jalla wa'ala, "Oh Allah, I made or I committed a ma'asiyah. Oh Allah, forgive me." See, he never stopped asking forgiveness from Allah Jalla wa'ala. And this is the very important thing. That's why in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "لو أنكم," if you stop asking forgiveness, then Allah Jalla wa Ala would replace you with people who commit ma'asi and ask forgiveness. So this person, the fourth time, when he made that ma'asiyah, he asked Allah Jalla wa Ala forgiveness, Allah Jalla wa Ala would say that my slave knew that he has a Lord that forgives ma'asi, and this time I would say to my slave, I have forgiven you, do whatever you want to do. The scholars explain this hadith and this statement, do whatever you want to do, it doesn't mean that continue doing ma'asi, but it means continue, okay, if you cannot stop ma'asi, as far as you continue making istighfar and asking me forgiveness, I would continue forgiving you. Okay? So this is very important. We see this with many brothers and sisters. And we receive many calls. Okay, Shaykh, wallahi, yani I promised myself and I had maybe nadhir sometimes. I had a commitment not to do this ma'asi again, but I couldn't stop it. And then after some time, I decided just to continue with my ma'asiyah and not to ask forgiveness from Allah Jalla wa Ala, because I know that I am a hypocrite person, I cannot stop the ma'asiyah. No, be careful. Continue, repent. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah Jalla wa Ala accept the repentance of a person ma lam yugharghir, means he will accept his repentance as far as he doesn't reach the deathbed or the time of death. In the other hadith, ما لم تطلع الشمس من مغربها, until the day of resurrection. So Allah Jalla wa Ala will continue accepting this. That's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Buruj, إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق. سبحان الله. Ibn Kathir said, سبحان الله. Allah Jalla wa Ala is telling those who killed his slaves, his people, the righteous people of the trench. Yeah? Allah Jalla wa Ala is telling those who tortured them, those who threw them in the trench of fire. Allah Jalla wa Ala is telling them, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ, means if they repented after what they have done, Allah Jalla wa Ala would accept the tawbah from them, although they have done that. So it means that Allah Jalla wa Ala will continue accepting the tawbah from his people. In the other ayah, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةً وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who said that Allah is the third of three, believe in Trinity, they disbelieved. And وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ, there is no God but Allah Jalla wa Ala. And if they don't stop what they have been doing, what they have been saying, then they will be punished. And then Allah Jalla wa Ala says, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Although, that's why Ibn Abbas said, Subhanallah, look at the mercy of Allah Jalla wa Ala. They attributed walad to him, and Allah Jalla wa Ala is telling them, don't you repent to Allah Jalla wa Ala? Don't you repent to Allah Jalla wa Ala? Yani they insulted Allah Jalla wa Ala, and Allah Jalla wa Ala is opening the doors for them. And he is asking them to enter those doors by repenting to him. And that's why in some of the athar, some of the quotations, that Allah Jalla wa Ala will never close the bab of the tawbah, the door of tawbah. And some scholars said, Ibn Kathir mentioned that the one who is telling people that, or telling a sinner that Allah Jalla wa Ala will never accept your tawbah, he rejected the Quran. He rejected the Quran. Why? Because Allah Jalla wa Ala is talking about those who attributed ولد to him means that he has a son. And Allah Jalla wa'ala encouraged them to repent. And Allah Jalla wa'ala told them that if you repent, I will accept your repentance. Those who insulted Allah Jalla wa'ala, Allah Jalla wa'ala told them that if you repent, your repentance will be accepted. Those who tortured the believers, Allah Jalla wa'ala said, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. And Allah Jalla wa'ala says in Surah Al-Zumar, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. If you have committed so many ma'asi, don't despair, don't lose hope, because the door of tawbah is open for you anytime, any place. So just go back to Allah Jalla wa'ala. And in the hadith, all of us know the hadith, that Allah Jalla wa'ala is more pleased with the tawbah of his slave than the pleasure a person would get, okay, a person in the desert who has a camel, and on that camel he has his food, he has his drink, and he lost that camel in the desert. So he lost hope and he was waiting for death. Then all of a sudden he fell asleep and then he found that camel. So he will be so happy. Allah Jalla wa'ala will be more happy if any of his slaves repent to him. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned that some of the salihin, the righteous people, gave this example. He said, I saw that a young child was kicked out his house, and his mother kicked him out. And then he went, and he was crying. He was a young boy, and he saw that he has no shelter, nowhere for him to go. So what did he do? He went back to the doorstep and he stayed next to the door and he was crying until he slept while crying. All of a sudden, his mom opened the door and she saw her young boy sitting in that or sleeping in that situation. Then she took him, hugged him, embraced him, and she started to say to him, oh my son, please don't disobey me, because once you disobey me, I might do this to you, and I hate to kick you out of my house. Allah Jalla wa'ala would do more than this mother would do to her son. So Allah Jalla wa'ala says, فَفِرُّ, flee. Flee from who? From the punishment of Allah Jalla wa'ala. To who? فَفِرُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. To Allah. So imagine that a child, he was kicked out of his house, but to go to where? He has nowhere to go, but to go back to Allah Jalla wa'ala. The second misconception is, many people, they are falling into some sins. All of us falling into ma'asi. But some people, when they do certain ma'asi or certain sins, in order to justify for themselves these ma'asi, they start to defend their position. Yeah? Until they reach to a point that they don't see that this ma'asiyah is a real sin. Did you get this point? Yani, for example, someone is lying. He lies a lot. And then when someone is advising him, brother, don't lie. Okay? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, if you lie, this will lead to fujur, and fujur will lead to hellfire. He will say, no, this is not lying. I'm not lying. This is just a joke. And then he will start to defend himself, and maybe he will ask some scholars whether this is a lie, or he might even do some research about this point, and he starts to justify for himself that what he is doing is right and it is not wrong. And maybe you have seen this. All of us, some dua, for example, they fall into a sin. Okay? Some practicing people, they made some mistakes. They fall into some sins. Here, we have to be careful. Don't justify the mistake. Accept it as a mistake. Don't ever defend yourself. And if someone told you, "Yah, you are a practicing person," the other day, okay, I noticed that you haven't prayed Fajr in the masjid. Don't say, "Well, the masjid is far, okay, and Salatul Jama'ah is not wajib, is not obligatory on me, because the distance of the masjid, okay, is far and I cannot hear the adhan." No, accept it. Say, "Jazakallah khair. I'll try my best." Why? Because if you try to justify it for yourself, you will not improve. Is that true or not? You will never improve. Because next time, subconsciously, when you want to wake up for Fajr prayer, you will say to yourself, "Yeah, but the masjid is far away. And it's not obligatory upon me to pray." Because you had already prepared yourself for that stance, for that position. Okay? So be careful. Some statements we make sometimes, as dua, as speakers, and some practicing people, they may make some statements, wrong statements. And then they might be approached by some people and they might tell them, "Well, I don't find that this statement was an accurate statement or an appropriate statement." So they will start, no, "But this statement, I have heard it from so-and-so scholar. And no, this statement, there is nothing wrong with it because it is supported by this dalil and that dalil." No, even if that statement can be considered correct, don't defend it unless it is a clear-cut statement. Okay? If you take a position that is a doubtful position, don't defend it. As far as it is a doubtful position, don't defend it. Say, "Jazakallah khair, I'll try, okay, my best." You know, we all human beings and we make mistakes. May Allah Jalla wa Ala help me to avoid this. And the other point, brothers, don't think that the people, the dua, the scholars, the shuyukh, the speakers are what? Ideal people, safe from mistakes. Because once you start to deal with them from this perspective, you will not accept any mistake from them. And once any of them make any mistake, you will what? Ignore him and you will never listen to him completely. And that is a big mistake. So that mistake you treated wrongly, okay, or you dealt with that mistake wrongly, and that led to a bigger mistake. So we have to be careful. Okay. Some of us, when they do some mistakes, okay, or they commit some ma'asi, hidden ma'asi. For example, some of the shabab have maybe kind of relationship with some sisters, and they are hiding it. It's good to hide it. Tayyib, it's good to hide it. Be careful. The shaitan will come to you, and he'll say, "Come on. People around you, they see you, mashallah, with a beard, okay? Or they might tell the sisters, they might see you with a niqab even, and you are doing this secret mistake. If people knew about it, then you will know what will happen to you. You are a hypocrite. Why are you doing this? You have to expose this sin in order for you not to be hypocrite. In order for your friends, whether male, female, not to consider you as a hypocrite. And they start to what? To expose themselves. This exposure leads to what? Lead to mujahara. What does mujahara mean? Mujahara means, or it will lead to the fact that the person will be proud of that ma'asiyah. Once he was hiding it, he was what? Ashamed. And he was trying, or she was trying to what? To cover it up and to get rid of it. But once they expose it, they are proud of it. And they will persist in doing that ma'asiyah. So that ma'asiyah led to another ma'asiyah, and Allah Jalla wa Ala says, لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان, the steps of the shaitan. One step lead to another step. So don't do that. This is a big misconception, or is a big problem. Another misconception is, some people make mistakes and commit some ma'asi. For example, okay, this is typical with some liberal people, or with some people who cannot practice Islam. For example, a person cannot grow his beard. He is shaving his beard. The shaitan will come to him and he will start hating those who have beards. And then the second step, the shaitan will come to him too, in order for him to defend his position, to justify this stance, he will start talking badly against those who have their beards. And then he will start what? Accusing those who have beards that they are hypocrites. And even he might reach to a stage to find all possible adilla and proofs that beard is not a sunnah. Some sisters, for example, they are not used to have hijab. What do? They start to hate hijabi sisters. They start to talk against hijab until they may reach to a point that they will side with those who are working against the interest of Muslim and Islam. And you will be surprised. This person is not an evil person. Why is he siding with those enemies of Al-Islam? Why? It started like this. It started, simple like this. And because this person was not careful of himself, he did not put, or she did not put attention to this misconception or this deception by the shaitan, he or she reached to that point. Okay? So if we don't do, a certain commandment, if we make a mistake, we should not hate that command. We should not also hate the people who are applying that sunnah. Yeah? And you might find this with some brothers who are, for example, they don't like to see some practicing brothers wearing certain clothes, or practicing certain sunan in their appearance. They don't like them. Because they don't like that appearance, they start to talk badly against it. Another misconception is, some people, they are making mistakes and they are committing ma'asi. The shaitan comes to them and will be telling them that, listen, why are you worried of this ma'asiyah? Look, so many people are doing it. I remember a person said that the shaitan, he had a big problem. And he said he was searching the internet, through these websites. And he said, yani, how this started, the shaitan came to me and he told me, do you think that all these practicing people are not doing it secretly? No, don't ever believe in them. I'm sure every single person is doing it secretly. So if you are doing it, okay, all of them are doing it. Subhanallah, look at this deception. Yeah? So now he will take that ma'asiyah, what? Lightly. Is that true or not? Why? How? Because the shaitan is justifying it to him through this misconception that everyone is doing it. And like one time I received a call, a sister was, Allah yahdiha, involved in zina. Yeah? She was involved in zina. And while she was married, I told her, sister, do you know what? You have committed, that you have committed a major sin. And if we were to apply Islam on you, you would be stoned. She started to laugh. And she said, you should appreciate that I am coming to you to ask you a question. And do you think that all these Muslim women who are wearing hijab and working in the city, they are free from zina? All of them are doing zina. But I was brave and I came to you to ask you a question and you are telling me this. They are doing it secretly and they don't have enough courage to come to talk about their mistakes. So I said, sister, come on, what has this to do with that? I'm giving you an advice about the gravity of your problem. And you are telling me, you are trying to justify this by telling me that all sisters working in mixed environment are doing these sins? This is not a justification. Don't deceive yourself, don't fool yourself. Even if all of them are doing it, this is still a major sin. Okay? So this is a misconception, a very dangerous one. That leads to another bigger misconception, which is what? Once people get used to some sins, they will take it lightly. They will take it lightly. Yani, maybe it's good sometimes to speak about some yani, examples. Of course, we don't give the details of those examples. Okay, so these are very general examples, and sometimes we even change the examples a little bit. I remember a person came to me and he said to me, please make dua for me because I am involved in zina and I'm doing it frequently. I said to him, brother, are you just telling me this, yani? You are taking it lightly. He said, yani, I know that it is a mistake, but what can I do? I said, what? A mistake? Zina is a mistake. One of the grave sins is a mistake. You know the punishment of zina. You know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that he saw in the at night that those who commit zina will be put in tanur, like an oven, and they will be burned in that oven. He said, yani, I've been doing this for some time. Yeah, you've been doing this for some time. Don't make it as a light sin. That's why Ibn Mas'ud said that al-mu'min and al-kafir, he is giving the example. The mu'min, when he commits a sin, he will see himself as if he is sitting next to a mountain and the mountain is about to what? Collapse over him. So he's afraid because the mountain will what? Fall on him. And the kafir or the munafiq, he sees his sin as what? As a flyer that dropped on his nose. And he just said like this and the flyer went away. This is the sin from his perspective. That's why they say Okay? Don't look how small the sin is, but look how big, okay, the one you sin to is. How big Allah Jalla wa Ala is. And Ibn Abbas said, or one of his students, he said, once you look to a small sin as if it was a big sin, Allah Jalla wa Ala will consider it a small sin. If you look at a big sin, okay, as if it is a small sin, it will be considered as a very big sin. Okay? So we should never ever look at any sin as a minor mistake. Even if it is a small sin, okay, out of respect to Allah Jalla wa Ala, look at it as you are violating the laws of Allah Jalla wa Ala, the laws of the one whom you love. Consider it from, look at it from this perspective. Some of us, okay, are involved in some ma'asi. Because they are involved in some ma'asi, they ignore doing some small ta'at or minor good deeds. Yani, and just to, yani, to give the brief concept, okay, remember the hadith of the Baghi of Bani Israel, the prostitute of Bani Israel that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. She was a prostitute. And while she was walking, she saw what? A dog. You know the hadith? She saw a dog, thirsty dog. She never said to herself, come on, I will help that dog by providing him some water, helping him to drink some water. But I am a prostitute. She never said this. That is something. You are doing this major sin, but do something. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة فإن لم يجد أحدكم فبكلمة طيبة. Subhanallah. اتقوا النار. The one who is thinking that, who is believing that there is a hellfire and he might be thrown into the hellfire, he will try to stop himself from going into that hellfire. He will not say, قالوا لن تمسنا النار إلا أياما معدودة. The hellfire will just touch us for a few days. No. قل اتخذتم عند الله عهدا فلن يخلف الله عهدا. You said a few days? Okay. A few days. إن يوما عند ربك كألف سنة مما يعدون. A few days, a few days. No. Brothers, there are small hasanat that we can do. Every single one of us can do. You might see a poor Muslim person asking you for £1. Maybe he is right, he is truthful, or he is a liar. Just at that moment, out of sincerity, say to Allah Jalla wa Ala, oh Allah, I am doing so many mistakes, I'm involved in so many ma'asi. I am giving this £1. No one is watching me except you, Allah Jalla wa Ala. I am taking it while I like that pound. It is the only pound that I have, but maybe you will forgive me because of that pound. So, oh Allah, forgive me because of this good deed that I am doing it for sincerely for your pleasure. And give it. While you are walking, and maybe you have committed 1,000 sins, say to Allah Jalla wa Ala, oh Allah, اغفر لي. Oh Allah, I confess that I made so many ma'asi now. Oh Allah, just forgive me. Don't say, oh, what is this going to do with those ma'asi that you have committed? Don't be deceived by the shaitan, brothers. Okay? That's why the person who is keen about himself, he will try every opportunity to gain hasanat. To win hasanat. اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Protect yourself from the hellfire even by giving what? A piece of one date as a sadaqah. The last one that I would like to mention is, okay, of course there are many things, but because of time, many of us, as we said, are involved in many ma'asi. Some of us are involved in so many ma'asi. Some of us are involved in some ma'asi. We differ. But, okay, I know that I am making so many ma'asi. And, for example, I am unable to lower my gaze. Yeah, let us take this. And a friend of mine, he is not lowering his gaze. So, shall I tell him, brother, this is something wrong, and this is a sin, don't do it? How can I tell him while I'm doing it? Huh? Someone came to one of the tabi'een, and he told him, don't you encourage people to do good deeds and to stop ma'asi? He said, what about myself? He said, the shaitan wants this from the believers. The shaitan wants them to say, what about myself? If I start enjoying good and forbidding evil, I should enjoin myself, okay, to do good and forbid myself from doing bad. Yes, you should do that, and you can encourage other people to do good deeds and forbid them from doing the ma'asi. And that's why they said, Allah Jalla wa Ala commanded us to what? To enjoin good deeds, to stop doing bad deeds, although Allah Jalla wa Ala knows that we are sinning. Is that true or not? So, means that even if you are sinning, continue enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. طيب, some people might say this is hypocrisy. No, don't act as if you are, don't pretend as if you are doing that good deed. For example, Qiyam al-Layl is difficult. I will encourage people to do Qiyam al-Layl. But I should not encourage them and pretend that I am doing it, mashallah, every night. No. Say, wallah, ya akhi, this is, I know it is difficult, and we have this shortcoming not to do Qiyam al-Layl, but it's good to encourage each other to do Qiyam al-Layl. So I'm not reflecting, manifesting that I am doing Qiyam al-Layl. If I am encouraging people to lower their gaze, and I'm not lowering my gaze, I should not say, brother, what is this? You are not lowering your gaze. You know that this is a big sin, okay? And you should be ashamed of yourself because you are not doing it. So here I am giving him the impression that, wallahi, I am safe from this ma'asiyah. No, don't do it like this. But say, wallahi, ya brother, although I am falling into this ma'asiyah, but this is a big problem, and we have to avoid it. And you have to encourage me to avoid it, I'm encouraging you to avoid it. And Allah Jalla wa Ala commanded us to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Okay, there are many other misconceptions, but maybe because of time constraints, يعني whatever we have mentioned, inshallah will be enough. And we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to give us, يعني to help us to repent to Him. Don't forget to repent to Allah Jalla wa Ala before go to sleep. Once you go to bed, just once you are lying down, ask yourself, how many times did I repent to Allah Jalla wa Ala today? If you haven't repented, repent at that time. Don't say, well, it is a minor issue. No, no, no. Repent to Allah Jalla wa Ala. Allah Jalla wa Ala likes it. Allah Jalla wa Ala will make you a stronger believer. Allah Jalla wa Ala will make you a better person. Allah Jalla wa Ala will be pleased with you. Allah Jalla wa Ala will love you, and you will start having the love, enjoy the love of Allah Jalla wa Ala, and enjoy being with Allah Jalla wa Ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.